Welcome to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by thesoberclub.com. I'm Genuinely Grace. This is for you if you've quit the booze or you'd like to, or maybe you're just sober curious. I'll bring you tips and motivation without any judgment, and there'll be inspiration from experts, quitlet authors, and sober heroes. Hi and welcome to the podcast. How are you doing? And a happy new year. I don't know how long we get to say that for, but it still feels all right at the moment. I think a lot of people are still kind of easing themselves in. It's been certainly very quiet. I went into London the other day. It was very quiet. So I think maybe a few people have had a few more days off work and stuff, with trains being on strike and all of that. If you're in the UK, you'll know exactly what I'm talking about. If you're not, then lucky you. So I do hope that your new year went well. If you are doing dry January, let's get that out the way straight away. If you're doing dry January, well done you. Focus only on what you're gaining. I'm going to keep on saying that. Focus on what you're gaining. You are not giving up anything. So never use that phrase, give up. You're not giving up. Nothing to give up. You're choosing to be alcohol free. You're choosing to be open and curious as to all the amazing benefits that could come along for you. So focus on that and get yourself immersed in some amazing positivity and motivation. And of course, get connected. Well, you know, I'm going to throw that in right at the beginning. Obviously, I want you to join the Sober Club, but whatever it means for you, get connected and tell someone as well. Let's just get that out of the way, because there will be people listening to this podcast probably for the first time. If you've just encountered the sober world, welcome. It's absolutely wonderful. And if you have been sober for absolutely ages, then maybe this is the time of year when you want to just be focusing on how you might want 23 to be different for you, whether there's stuff you want to release, you want to let go of, and you want to focus on for this coming year. You know that I talk a lot about setting intentions rather than trying to do resolutions where you end up kind of failing and beating yourself up. Instead, set an intention, really, you know, really choose what you want to focus on for the year. So we did a really fabulous session a few days ago with the Sober Club and people that joined us. And it was great because we focused on what we wanted to let go of from the year just gone, what we wanted to release, what was no longer serving us, and what we wanted to bring in for this new year. And I also encourage people to choose a word for the year. And it's not too late, a word or a sentence that just is a kind of a theme for you that you can keep coming back to. It just really helps keep us grounded rather than kind of floating about all over the place, not feeling as though someone else is controlling us. Helps us bring back, grounds us and bring us back to what it is we've decided that we want. And to that end, my special guest on that session was Susan from Hola Sober. And we had a really lovely chat about the power of ritual when it comes to setting intentions. And I thought, you know what, daft saving that, keeping that to myself. I'm going to share it with all of you. So I'm going to play that little interview. I think it's really powerful. And of course, we love Susan anyway, don't we? Any chance to hear her lovely accent? But just before I do that, before we talk about the power of ritual, let's talk about the thing that will also support you through dry January, which is keep the ritual, change the ingredients. You've heard me say it lots and lots of times. A cup of tea won't cut it. You want a fabulous alcohol-free drink that really feels grown up and feels like a bit of a treat at the end of the day. It's what we do as adults, right? We are really not going to be okay with our cup of tea or our, you know, warm orange juice. So I hope you didn't have to suffer too many of those kind of functions over the Christmas period. But anyways, to that end, I want to tell you about just a great brand. I featured this brand on the podcast before, The Drink Store, but they spell drink with D-R-Y-N-K. So it's a slightly different spin on it. And Smashed is a range of 5 award-winning drinks. They've got 0% beer, lagers and ciders, and they're brewed independently in Manchester, and they use this unique cool vacuum distillation method. I'm always intrigued as to these different methods of creating these fantastic drinks. So these Smashed drinks start life as an alcoholic British craft beer or a lager or a cider, and then it's brewed to 5% ABV. So basically the alcohol is lifted out of it with a pioneering process that retains the DNA of the original drink. So you get all that lovely taste, all that lovely flavour profile, but absolutely no booze at all. So they're also free from artificial colours and flavours and preservatives, and they're vegan and they're gluten-free where possible. And that's quite a big one for some people when they're looking for a beer or a lager. They sometimes want a gluten-free choice as well. And one of the things that I'm often asked is, well, what about calories? You know, is there going to be like loads of calories in there? And actually, in these smash drinks, there's 50 to 85 calories per 330ml bottle or can. So that's pretty good, right? So they've got the lager, the pale ale, the shandy, and the apple and berry cider. And one of the great things about this brand as well is that you actually do not have to order online. You can get them in the actual shops, which is amazing, isn't it? I mean, how things are changing that we can actually go to the shops as well to get some of this stuff. So they're in selected Sainsbury's stores, in Co-op supermarkets, in the Midlands at least, in Booths, if you've got one of those near you. And then, of course, you can also get them online. You can get them direct from drinks.store. So that's drynks.store. And you can pick them up at The Wise Bartender or Alcohol-Free Drinks Company. So a whole bunch of places. And they're popping up in pubs and restaurants and venues across the UK. So super cool brand. They're called Smashed. I'll put all that info in the show notes, of course, and you can also find them on social at Drink Social, DRYNK Social. So check them out there. They're lovely and colourful as well. They look really cool, the bottles and the cans. So thank you to Smashed for teaming up with us this week. We'll also have a competition to win a bunch of drinks, so I'll put that info in the show notes as well, and make sure you check out my social media to find info of that, at Janie Lee Grace, if you don't already follow me. And let's talk intentions then. I know we're into the year, I know we are, but nevertheless, Susan suggests a great ritual that we can start at any time.
It's been challenging, and I think that many people I know have had a challenging 2022. My health, I lost my mom this time last year. The way I put it is this, and this is no disrespect to my mother. I lost my mother, then we lost the family dog. Equally, both tragic, and yeah. they loved each other. And then my health was hugely compromised. But I was in the hands of an amazing surgical team. I had major cardiovascular surgery. My last one was, the third one I had was on the 1st of December. But truly, what sustained me was my ability to hold on to a non-drinking status in my life. And if, Janie, I didn't have that particular piece in my armory, I would not be sitting here with you on the 2nd of January. And therefore, to get shot of 2022 was a no-brainer for me. But equally so, I am actually quite grateful for my own personal victory, which was sober as a judge and rocking it.
Absolutely. I love it. Well, most of you know I've interviewed Susan and we've had lots of chats. Susan runs the fabulous Hola Sober mag, and we've had lots of chats before. And as part of our conversations, one of the things that we often end up talking about is this idea of how we can, when we decide what we want, when we set an intention or when we have a goal or when there's something that we know we want to focus on, how can we make it happen? And I know that for you, practice and ritual is really important. So do you want to just share with us some of the things you do or some of the things that you think might be of benefit, you know, to people?
Because here's the deal. 4 years ago, I'm 4 years, by the way, sober on Friday.
Fabulous. Congratulations.
Yes, I am. So here's the bottom line. While I was in the end stages and I was a bottle a night, nobody knew, it was a big secret, allegedly great drinker, all of those things, I wouldn't have known discipline if it came up and shook my hand. I was disciplined in my professional life. I was disciplined in all aspects of my life, except in drinking, right? So when I came into this space of no drinking, sobriety, whatever you're comfortable calling it, I had to latch on to something I'd never done before. Mm. I had to become disciplined. I had to think inside the box, having spent professional years always allegedly thinking outside the box. And discipline is something that when we come into this space, and it's a privilege to be in a room with somebody's on day one. Thank you for coming in here and putting in the chat that you're day one. That's
I know, isn't it? Isn't it great? A real big up to you guys.
It is. Am I allowed to curse in the room? Because that
of
is...
Of course. Oh, my goodness. Well, it wouldn't be a session of mine without swearing, sweetheart, would it?
That is feckin' epic that you and I are in this space with somebody on day one, because here's the magic of being on day one. The magic of being on day one in this room with Janie is that you're actually going to sit into positivity and empowerment and strength of women. And that is something the rest of us didn't have maybe on day one, right? So that's magic. And I had to, if you like, as I say, lean into discipline, Janie, and do something I'd never done before. And I had to do it in such a disciplined fashion that in the first 30 days of sobriety, I didn't recognize myself. Mm. I grew up, guess what? I'm not Spanish, even though I live here, I'm Irish. And my grandmother was the queen of lighting candles, right? Mm. So she lit candles for intentions. That's how she would say it. And she had night lights always on the go. And if Johnny O down the road was sick, she lit a candle and it was a special intention. Mm. And that always stuck with me, that there was something about her ability and belief in that veil on the other side that we could reach when we lit a candle. And so I embraced it on my day two. Yeah. And I decided I would light three candles, a trilogy in the mornings. And the first candle was, I knew me, and I knew a bottle a day drinker wasn't going to change overnight. So I knew I had to get up every morning, Jenny, and claim my day. I had to own it. So I lit a candle and went, I'm here. Sober intention. First intention of the day is, I am not going to drink today. Second candle, ancestors, wherever you are, at which side of the veil you sit. I'm so excited. There's an angel woman here. I swear to God, it's on. Ancestors, wherever you are. You know, my dad had passed at that stage. And I was calling on a body of my family, some of whom I didn't know, but I knew. Mm. I knew I needed their strength. I knew I needed their strength to get through the early days. And then I lit a candle for every other woman in the world in active addiction. Mm. Every single woman who, like me, was in secret having a bottle in the corner and turning up for work the next day. Mm. So I those three candles for me put light into the world. I became rigid. Absolutely rigid, Janie. I rather than putting bottles of wine into my shopping trolley, I was putting candles into my shopping trolley every week. Mm. And I actually found great solace in the simplicity of being able to connect with myself, something I'd never done when I was drinking. Because I was too bloody hungover at 6:30 in the morning to connect with anybody other than a bar of soap and a shower. Mm. So, you know, for me, discipline, candles, routine and ritual have sustained me for 4 years. And it sounds mad. Okay. Somebody says, you know, I went to rehab. I did this. I went to this course. It cost $19 billion. And now I no longer drink. And they're looking at me going, you need to light three candles, be routined and disciplined and find gratitude. And they're going, well, she's off her game. You know what? In the simplicity of candles and gratitude, therein lay a connection with myself that had evaded me while I was drinking.
Yeah, I love that. I think that the having some kind of practice, in inverted commas, in the morning, it's so important. And I put it off for so many years. I can't begin to tell you. When you're drinking, I think it's really hard to meditate, to take time, because part of you is kind of answering back, well, what the hell do you think you're doing anyway? You're not authentic. What do you mean you're going to sit in meditation? I don't think you are, sweetheart. I'm just going to bring a shopping list in to encourage you to think of something else. And I really did put it off for forever and a day, despite the fact that I was interviewing meditation gurus and all the rest of it. There wasn't anything I didn't know about this, just wasn't doing it. But, you know, I now really do see the importance of a morning ritual of some kind or a morning practice. So for you, it's lighting candles and setting clear intentions for each candle.
for each candle. And here's the point. You know, for so long, so many women, you and I, multiple rodeos, we go to the shop and we buy the book and we stand there and we feel fabulous because we just bought the book about not drinking and we do Sweet Fanny
Ellen. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, exactly.
So the practice is an action. It's proactive. It's you and me and every other woman saying, I'm not just here declaring that I'm on day one. I am here and I'm showing up and I'm actually doing an action every single morning, bonding with the universe, higher power, whatever the hell you bloody want to call it. It's an action. It's not just an intention. It's an intention and an action and purposeful. It's purposeful because it's powerful. And it's a discipline that in truth, if you look at the military all across the world, they say, what's the most important task when you get up? Make your bed. So therefore, in sobriety and not drinking, what's the most important task? It is communing with myself at dawn, lighting candles, following gratitude. And then I always write in a journal and write an email. So for me, those practices are proactive. I'm showing up for myself. And I suppose above all else, Janie, I'm owning it. Yeah. I'm owning who I am. And I'm not ashamed sitting in the corner saying my name is. I'm actually showing up, putting light into the universe, following a discipline, engaging with a discipline, and living my life in full freedom, joyful, choosing to do what I do first thing in the morning.
Yeah, love it. It obviously resonates. Somebody here says, a Galway girl here, raised on candle lighting as well.
Lovely.
Yeah, absolutely. Somebody else said my Irish mum did the same and I still have her bottle of holy water.
That's it. My grandmother absolutely and splashed you forever with Lourdes holy water and lit candles. And so therefore, you know, there's something in, if you like, ritual, isn't there, from family and tradition. And I think that's what I leaned into, that family tradition, and used it for my advantage and called on those ancestors.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned there journaling. And again, it's something that we talk about pretty much all the time in the Sober Club. I often recommend that people, even if they've never done journaling before, when you first stop drinking, or if you want to make any kind of behavior change, January is a great time at the start of a new year to just get a new notebook, get a journal, and just get used to doing that stream of consciousness thing first thing in the morning. So most people here will know that I talk about, you know, The Artist's Way, Julia Cameron's book. To distill that into a sentence, it is literally spend 5 minutes writing, and it must be by hand, write down your thoughts, literally let it out. Now, the wise late Louise Hay said, you know, you can't clean the house till you can see the dirt. So sometimes you just have to lay it out there. And when in the early days of sobriety, our thoughts can be really interesting because it's all going off in there. Exactly.
And dangerous.
It's all going off in our head.
Absolutely. Augustine Burroughs always says, you know, the inside of our head is the noisy neighborhood. And I think that journaling and gratitude have had a bad rap. Okay. And those of us on the side of the drinking veil, we dismiss all of those things. They're too, as you say, then and too, we're not authentic. But the reality is that, again, it's part of the discipline, routine and ritual. Yeah. And there's something also very, I think, again, it's about an action, about going to physically buy a notebook, not one you already have. No,
exactly.
Sorry. Go spend
a nice
some
one.
Dollars. A nice one. Gorgeous cover. You know, it's like a little treat for yourself. And I think that there is nothing wrong with anybody getting into a practice of just putting a load of words on a page, because some of the great authors always say, if you're sitting in your room looking out at a wonderful vista of the sea or mountains, and somebody says to you, and what are you about to do? And you say, I'm waiting for the guru to arrive so I can write the next chapter. The guru is never going to fucking arrive. Writing is about the discipline of doing it daily. Yeah. So therefore, the thoughts in our head on day one, day 10, day 43, day 1,000 can be dangerous because we sometimes make things huge, giant bears in our head, where I have found in the last 4 years, by tossing them down in a page, sometimes, Janie, I answer myself.
Absolutely.
In my journal.
Absolutely.
Right? I go in there going and going in 15 directions. And at the end, I go, oh my God, that's what I need to do.
Yeah, I've definitely found when I first started this, in when I was newly sober, I started journaling. I didn't have the connection then. I was kind of on my own, really. So I'm very glad that somebody encouraged me to do this journaling. And I remember that I found it quite difficult because it felt very negative, actually, because I was just throwing onto the page this, and it is stream of consciousness. You don't edit anything, in case you're new to this. You might find yourself writing, oh God, I've got to send a birthday card. Oh, and I'm so fed up. And, you know, how am I going to deal with that person at work who might ask me about drinking? I mean, just a whole load of stuff. You know, I'm feeling flat. I'm feeling this. I'm feeling, you know, it can feel really quite negative, but you just get it all out anyway. So kind of release. I mean, better out than in, right? And then I used to find that I'd be going for a walk or I'd be going about my day, and suddenly a thought would pop into my mind, something I'd written down, and the answer to solve that conundrum would just come flying straight in.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
It's really interesting.
It's fascinating. And here's the point. In early days of sobriety, in my first 30 days, one of the things was I set myself the exercise of finding three things. And this was bloody difficult, let me tell you, on day 4, 5, 6, and 7. Three things for which I was grateful for. Mm-hmm. And and only three, not 1,000, not even like 10, three. They could have been something like, you know, I really liked the chocolate brownie, because there's always going to be assholes and there's always going to be fuckwits and all of those things are going to happen day one, day 1,000, day 1,000,000. It doesn't matter, right? But if I could go into it not drinking and find three things, suddenly, you know, day 11, it became easier. I began to see things more positively because I was doing a brain dump and finding three things to be grateful for.
I love that.
Combination of that actually helped me excavate the madness that was the inside of my head in the first 30 days. And it was bloody chaos in there.
Yeah, it can feel very chaotic. Yes. I do think that's a great practice for everybody, whatever stage you're at. Some kind of, you know, people talk about gratitude lists, right? I don't like gratitude lists because it just feels like, oh, I must include my home. I must include my kids, you know, 1,000,000 things that we already know. It's better to call it blessings or gifts, right? And as you say, if you can come up with a minimum of three every single night before you go to bed, then and focus, particularly if you're new to sobriety, then I would focus it on three blessings or things or whatever experiences that you're grateful for because of your sobriety.
Absolutely.
And it might be something tiny. I remember noticing that, you know, I just my interactions with people, I was just a bit kinder. And it might be something tiny, you know, so I'm grateful that I didn't snap at my kids the same as I may have done. It can be something really tiny. But when you start to build those little blessings up, after a while, that starts to amass a really lovely list of tiny positive things. And it's the tiny things that matter.
Sober gold, right? One of my friends calls them moments of joy. And she only was able to find two in the beginning, and then she built it up. And now she has, we'll say, five, right? And in early sobriety, I found, just like you say, sometimes it's in the hidden, invisible moments that nobody outside of this room would even begin to understand, because they're not me and they're not you. But when you're not drinking and you suddenly find that the children speaking in the kitchen is not pissing you off at breakfast time, that's something to
your head's not pounding. Yeah.
Yes, is that sober gold? Or, you know, change of football practice time on a Tuesday is no longer the end of the universe. It's actually just a change of football practice time for the kids. So these things, they're built up and we put them into the day-to-day fabric of our lives, and suddenly we begin to realize, although it's an anathema at the outset, that living without alcohol is not just a gift, not just possible, not just something to feel empowered by, not just something that can absolutely make our world rock and roll, but actually something that we ourselves, in the quietness and the silence of our soul and our head, can sit with in peace and not wish we were that other person ever again.
Absolutely. That's such a lovely way of putting it. We can actually come back to who we are. It's the little joys, isn't it? That feeling of contentment almost that we probably haven't had since we were a kid, because we've always been searching for something else that, that was already inside. It was never in the bottle, right? It was never in the bottle. Susan, thank you so much. Is there anything else you'd just like to share with these lovely ladies before we let you go, and gentlemen if we've got any, around setting intentions for this year?
I think that, first of all, thank you for having me in the room. It's a privilege. Second of all, what I would say is, having always been the mother of intention to give up alcohol, the day I grasped the nettle and I actually put it down and actually made my sober intention the actual linchpin of every single day, and actually everything in my world, Janie, went to support that one goal you spoke about at the top, your word for the year. I'm not lofty enough to have very big words. My word for the year is sober.
Nice. Okay?
Because all else comes from that. All else comes from that piece of magic. And if I can get up every morning and set that intention and move other women through the magazine to make that their intention, we're good to go. As a band of women, we're good to go. So thank you, Janie, and thank you for having me.
Thank you so much. Really appreciate it, Susan. Thank you. We always end up touching on this issue of ancestors and how they support us. And you know that I'm a very big fan of constellations. And to that end, we have a family constellations workshop coming up in Hertfordshire on Sunday, January the 22nd. Sunday, Jan 22nd. Starts about 9:30, ends around 4:35. It's a really magical day. You don't need any previous experience of any kind. You can just be completely open-minded. Come and join us. Maybe you've seen a bit of the Netflix series Another Life. I'm not sure about it. It's all right, but it gives an interesting perception of family constellations. If family constellations interest you, come along. I do find that when people ditch the booze, they suddenly become open to so many other layers, and they start to realize that part of what might have been going on for them is this trauma from childhood. And when I use the word trauma, I don't necessarily mean with the big T. Some people will have had the big T trauma. Some people will just have had certain programs, in inverted commas, installed from a very early age. And then, of course, you've got the inherited family trauma stuff. If that interests you, we did a clip on the last podcast from Mark Wolin, the podcast I did with Mark on inherited family trauma. It's really fascinating, all of this stuff. So if it interests you and you can make it, I know that if you're in another part of the world, that ain't going to happen. So we will do something online as well. But if you can make it along to our workshop, very limited spaces, it's Sunday, 22nd of Jan. If you go to thesoberclub.com and click on events, you can click on that, or you can always drop me a message and I'll send you the information that you need. So it'd be great to see some of you there. And the day before that, Saturday 21st, in the same place in Hertfordshire, if you are an expert or a coach or a therapist, or you have a heart-centered business, then I'm hosting a kind of a biz afternoon, really, where we focus on reaching your full potential in your heart-centered business. And we'll be using a bit of business constellations. So that's just another way of bringing that into what we do. While we're still talking about events, there is Sober by the Sea coming up on Saturday, 18th of Feb, I think it is, where we create a vision board and just get you motivated for whatever you want to do in your life, whatever change you want to make. So it doesn't matter what level of sobriety you're at. It doesn't matter about that for anything that I offer. And then we have Champneys as well. So we've got Self-Care and Sobriety, our retreat at Champneys, which is happening on the 11th to the 12th of February. And that's at Champneys in Tring. So there's a whole bunch of things you might want to connect with if you are in the UK. So go to thesoberclub.com and click on events. So all that remains is for me to remind you that being connected is just so powerful. We're hardwired to be connected, to have that sense of community. And of course, if you have you know, a lovely circle in your locality. It's wonderful. But it's also great to be connected with people online. We really do cheerlead each other within the Sober Club. So please do check it out if you haven't already, thesoberclub.com. It's a small monthly fee, huge value. You get a course with it, get the buzz without the booze. There's just masses of stuff in our member portal, expert sessions. I'm going to be interviewing the guys from The Happy Pair next week. Can't wait for that. And there'll be an exclusive Q&A for Sober Club members. So there's just so much inspiration. And of course, our private group where we really do cheerlead each other. It's a very safe, quite small kind of supportive group. It's not one of these massive groups where you kind of get lost. Everyone, I think, I hope, feels really, really supported in there. So please join us if you haven't already. Doesn't matter if you're day one or if you've been sober for 10 years, you're very welcome, because we're always unraveling and unwrapping and creating something else that links to optimum well-being one way or another. And just a reminder again, if you're doing Dry January, focus on what you're gaining and tell someone. You can absolutely tell me. Just drop me a message. Tell someone. If you don't want to join us in the Sober Club, just at the very least, tell someone, make your commitment, focus on entirely on what you're gaining. Don't even think about what you're giving up. There's nothing to give up. Just get that headspace right and get connected. And if it means, you know, going to bed at Harper State with a cocoa and a book, so be it. That's okay. You choose how you plan your Dry January. You choose. You don't necessarily have to be heading off to every party and every event. Maybe you really do just want to hole up and just get connected with other people and start to notice your thoughts, because it's all about what's going on in your head, right? And don't forget, eat well. That's super important. Really good nutrition underpins it. I've got a couple of great interviews coming up. I'm interviewing the guys from The Happy Pair, as I mentioned. Also Dominique Ludwig, who is a leading nutritionist. She's done a piece for us in the Sober Club. We're going to bring you that part of that interview here as well. So she's got just such a common sense approach to eating well. Forget about dieting, by the way. Don't even think about that. If you're trying to stop, you know, if you're ditching the booze, then forget about dieting. It's absolutely not about that. It's about coming back to who you really are, so you can actually start to like yourself again. How cool is that, right? So we've got loads of great stuff coming up. So make sure you support yourself nutritionally and keep the ritual, change the ingredients. And on that note, a big thank you to Drinks Store for the joining up with us on the podcast this week with the Smashed Drinks. The info about that competition and info about the brand will be there in the show notes. I'll see you same time next week. Don't forget, I'm always interested if you've got ideas for guests for me. It would be great if you just let me know. Just drop me a message. Follow me on social at Janie Lee Grace. And if you can connect me with said fabulous guest, even better. That would be amazing. I sometimes pitch out to people and get an answer back, and sometimes I don't. So if you've got any great connections, then please do let me know. And I'm really, really hoping some of you are able to join us for Family Constellations on the 22nd of January. See you soon. Thank you for listening to the Alcohol Free Life podcast, brought to you by The Sober Club. Please rate and review. And if you want support, accountability and inspiration, and you want to live your best life without the booze, check out thesoberclub.com.